Good afternoon and welcome to our May edition of Our Town. Our first guest is going to start us right off here now is Senator Arne Roblin. He's going to talk a little bit about some gun legislation, some gun issues today. And good afternoon, Senator Roblin. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. It's great to be here.
You picked a beautiful day. I know. You couldn't have picked a nicer day to come
Considering
down.
Considering yesterday, it was kind of the day before.
Saturday. Yeah. kind of a crazy thing there.
Yep.
One of the reasons I wanted you to come by, I was talking with Rosie and I wanted to talk to you about the most recent gun legislation. I believe it was February 14th.
Right.
You guys passed that. Tell me a little bit about that.
That one was really a bill that came about through conversations with a lot of people about how well we protect people, especially women, in situations where they're being harassed or stalked or other kinds of things. And how do we make sure that those people who are doing that, who we've seen really bad outcomes in the past, lose their right to have a firearm if they're convicted of a crime of stalking? It was also looking back, we've done a number of different gun legislations over the last number of years, from background checks to other ways of trying to make sure that we get to be as safe as we can with firearms and guns. And I think there'll be bigger conversations. I think the kids in Florida have raised the level of conversations that are going to go around the state. I appreciated the fact that these bump stocks are looking like federally maybe we'll get some legislation, mm-hmm. but it doesn't make any sense that we would need those. My family's been hunters for generations, and we've had rifles and handguns and stuff. And they are meant for protection and for hunting. They make sense. In families where on the coast or up in the coast of Washington where I grew up, we were, as kids, trained very carefully about safety of handling firearms. Okay. And I think that I get frustrated at times when people talk about we shouldn't have guns at a school because there was a deal in the Oregon registration the register guard of the Oregonian about a shooting club at one of the schools. Well, what we have found clearly that if there aren't guns in the family and they aren't taught at a young age that you have to respect these weapons, you have to handle them appropriately, and you don't point them at anybody, that kids, when left to their own devices with a handgun, will point at each other and pull triggers. I mean, they see it on TV, they see it every place else. They don't have a concept of what that instrument
can do. They don't have a concept
of
the consequence.
That's right. No concept of the consequences. Yeah. And so I'm all for education and training kids and training people so they know, understand, clearly understand what the consequences of those weapons are. I don't think everybody needs one. I've taken my permit class so I could carry. I didn't choose to get one because the reality in those classes, they train you. If you aren't willing to use the weapon to defend, then it will probably be used against you in a bad situation. So you have to make some real serious conversations. And people need to take real seriously that responsibility that comes with that. And I think we have lost that a bit in our society. And I think that when you look at gang activity in big cities and other kinds of stuff, they have no respect for that gun or necessarily life in general. And we've got to be careful about what we do. I have not ever understood why we need automatic weapons in civilian life. I understand why they have them in military life. I don't understand.
I've heard all the arguments. Yes. Why I should be able to have one because the military has one.
Right. Yeah. Most of that does not make sense to me. And so we need to have that conversation as a state and as a nation. And I think our state continues to have those conversations, and we'll look at whatever comes up in the next little while. There are other, I think, legitimate conversations that have taken place. You haven't seen people with carry permits who have to go through a real process to get a particular weapon or to use it to carry. And so they do check those people out pretty carefully. And most of the time, those are very responsible people who are using it responsibly, who have gun safes and understand that they shouldn't be available to kids walking into their home. So that can be handled safely. But there's a lot of other people who think they need it for safety, and more than likely it will be turned against them. We know that many of the people who get shot by these guns are family members and others. We've seen that happen tragically over and over again. And as a high school principal, I watched what happened when kids were depressed and had access to weapons, and they used them on themselves and to tragic, very tragic ends. And those things have been really hard for me to watch and understand how those kind of things and how we continue to let those things happen. So let's have real conversations about how to do that. I know I've talked to some people who said maybe at the national level what we need to do is really have, if you're going to have any kind of weapon, some real training about how to operate responsibility and all of those kinds of things.
Well, it seems to me like I think you could break it down into to three groups. Maybe there's a fourth I don't know about. There's the training because of kids that will accidentally get shot.
Correct.
Then there's those that are bullied in school and tortured in school and feel the need to fight back. And then there's the violent criminal sector.
Yep.
You know, there's those three. And each one of them has to be treated
definitely
in a different way.
Yep.
In order to have success, you know, with a gun law. So as a legislature, how do you feel when you hear a group of kids like the Parkland kids saying, you know, we're getting ready to vote. If you don't listen to us, we'll vote you out. Does that really have an effect on some politicians?
It's a good question. I would say it does have an effect on some. You know, people say the National Rifle Association has undue influence because of the kind of money that they spend. They do have some of that. But the reality is the people who they support believed in what they wanted. So they're already in their camp.
Right. Because you believe what I believe, I'm going to help you out.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's not like
believe
I'm
going to
change. Believe and then I'll help you out.
Correct. Yeah. So it when it comes to the kids, I hope they get engaged. The population who is the least likely to vote in elections are those younger people. So
that would really make a turn of events.
It could make a difference. And we are a country that's based on the idea that people get to vote for the things they care about. And you won't see a lot of changes until enough people do vote the kinds of people in who want that to happen.
Right.
So that is how our country works.
Well, it'll only take a couple of elections. Or a couple of, not a couple of elections, but a couple of seats to change from someone who was staunchly supportive in order to people to go, oh, maybe I need to rethink this.
Yeah, and there's a lot of people in our communities. You know, this is one of those, in my district, this is one of those dividing line things. There's a real strong group of people who want what they believe to be their constitutional right to own guns and do their thing. And then there's this other group who believe that there are restraints to every constitutional thing. You can't yell fire in the theater. So
right. What
are the logical kinds of things? Should every gun and every gun owner have to have a background check? It seems to make sense to me, especially around mental illness issues, which we have not come to grips with as a society and really having available the kinds of things we need to do to help those people.
Well, like I told you before we went on, I own a gun. I'm a responsible. You know, I feel I learned when I was a kid, you know, like you probably did, how to hold it, how to handle it, how to load it, how to shoot it, how to clean it, you know, how to take it apart and reassemble it, all those things. And so I'm not saying that, I'm not saying that there shouldn't be guns.
Right.
But, you know, the common sense things tells you that there's just some things that we don't need. I mean,
right. There's
need to be in there. You know?
Yeah. So I go back to, I don't know how many people in this country have been killed accidentally by unloaded guns. They weren't that unloaded. I mean, there are a lot of people who don't understand that you take out the clip. That doesn't mean the gun is unloaded.
No.
If there's one in the chamber, it's just as dangerous with that clip out as it is with the clip in. So, you know, there's a whole bunch of those kinds of things that people who haven't, you can go down and buy a gun. That doesn't mean you know anything about what you just bought.
Right.
And maybe there needs to be some training anytime you buy a firearm that could do the kind of damage.
You drive a 3,000-pound car.
They give you some training before
you
get a
license. Or at least they get in the car with you to make sure you know what you're
doing.
That's
true.
You know, hopefully your parents do. You know,
yes.
I mean, that's the whole thing. You know, someone that's 18 that wants to buy a gun, his parents, you know, should have given him some kind of
You would hope that they would give it. I think that commercial, the insurance commercial on TV where the kid holds up the little, I don't even know what it is, but it's certainly not a lug wrench. And he says, is this a lug wrench? And
the other
kid says, oh. And
could
it's kind of like, could be, yeah. There are a lot of people who don't know how to change a tire these days and get in a car. I think that's bad training on the parents' part. I think every kid should know how to get into there and change a tire. Now, mostly they just use their cell phone. They'll call someone to come and
call AAA.
AAA, and fix it. But there are times when there is no cell phone coverage and there are other kinds of stuff and you want to move your car someplace and it would be really good if you knew how to change that tire. So there's...
Well, and you mentioned that. That was a really good commercial. But I remember back in the 70s, and this was another one about, you know, parents modeling behavior. And there was the one where the father and son are walking down by the lake and the father picks up the stone and skims it in the water. And the little boy's 3 or 4 years old. He picks up the skin, is in the water. Then the father, you know, he throws a ball and the kid throws a ball. And then he sits down by the tree and he picks up a cigarette. And then they show the son grabbing the cigarette pack. And it's like, so you're modeling behavior. So model good behavior and have good results.
Absolutely true. Yeah.
Of course, you know, that's getting
the problem is that we have
we
have a lot of kids that are raised these days by not having parents.
Yeah.
And we have grandparents raising kids, and I cannot say enough about how much I respect those people doing that, but they don't have the same energy as they had when their kids were growing up. And they don't necessarily do exactly the same kinds of things with their grandkids that they did with those others. And so it does take society, and as a group, we have to help with each other. You know, the number of foster care kids, the other stuff. There are a lot of children out there who are not having the training and the expertise and the loving care of an adult to help them make good choices and learn how to behave as a member of a society.
And that all goes around to, you know, right. The problems that we're seeing with guns and things like that, and with violence and with crime and all this stuff. What do we still need to do? What does Oregon still need to do?
So we've done background checks. We need to make sure that we're doing it correctly. There are some people that said it took a while. I don't think that's true. There was worries about, you know, what happens if it doesn't happen in X number of days? Do you get to have the gun? I think we've straightened most of that out. I think this last bill we did was helpful. The bigger question in our state and across the country will be, what kinds of weapons should people get to own? We know that we don't let every citizen buy a nuclear bomb. We know we don't let them have Abrams tanks.
Nope.
Bazookas are probably not in limits. We do have special circumstances that you can go through and get a permission to own a 50-caliber machine gun. Why, I don't understand, but there are some really strong safeguards with respect to somebody having that, the opportunity to have that.
Yeah, it's not just like anybody.
It's not like anybody can have it.
Right.
So just as the same with cars and other kinds of things, we have expectations and restrictions for people to have those. And I think we have to have a real conversation about what kinds of weapons should be included in that conversation.
If you want to comment on this, you can. If you don't, why do you think it is that when we talk about common sense gun laws, some people go to the extreme and say you're trying to take our guns away? Why do you think that
is? You know, there has been a long-term myth. And if you go back to Vietnam and you go back to a lot of things that we've got ourselves into over the years, it's always about the domino effect. If you give an inch, you know, they're going to come over and take more. And there is this prevailing belief that if you, from the National Rifle Association and people that I know that really feel strongly about their rights, that any give on any of that means that they're going to try to take your guns away. I don't know of any legislator, including the ones that are really, really out there on the changing gun laws to get more restrictions on ownership, that want to take anybody's guns away. That has never been the conversation at the legislature or anyplace else about any of these bills. But there are people who believe that anytime you do anything, it infringes on it. As I tried to explain once before, you know, we had a ban on these guns for a while. After the Reagan shooting and the Brady Bill, there were a bunch of things. Those came and had a timeline at which they expired, and it didn't get renewed. Some other reasons. But to say that it's my Second Amendment right to have certain of these things when we know that it wasn't challenged or it didn't get changed by the Supreme Court back when that was in place, that there are reasonable expectations that are implied on all of those amendment rights that we have.
Well, I guess the thing, you know, I guess some people think that, well, you know, we've added new amendments. We've taken some old amendments out. You know, we've given the women the right to vote. You know, all these things have changed. So I guess maybe they're thinking that that could possibly change. But we had a retired Supreme Court judge just say, hey, we had to repeal the whole thing.
Yeah, there is that. And I don't know that I would go that far, but
right.
there may be people who think that that is the way to go. My belief is that if you don't make common sense kinds of additions to the gun control things. Right now, we know the number of deaths every year that come because of handguns, but we've never studied the implications of that because there's a law at Congress that says you can't study gun deaths.
I did not know that.
So maybe some of those things should be repealed, so we can actually have look into the health issues with regard to how you go about doing research on those kinds of things.
Wow, I did not know that.
So there's a bunch of those things that are out there that we really need to look at and take some serious consideration into having conversations about and having more open conversations and getting the facts. And in our era today of what is real news and what is not real news, it's very frustrating to have those conversations.
Well, gun laws aside, gun things aside, how are we doing? How's Oregon doing?
You know, I feel good about the conversations we have in Oregon. I feel good about the people who come and talk to me. We have a really active group here in Ceasefire and some others in Oregon that come and talk to us. We have a very strong group from the National Rifle Association and some other gun rights advocate groups that come and speak and talk to the legislature on a regular basis. And we have a state that, you know, a lot of people think because our electeds at the state level generally are Democrats, that we're this really Democratic state. I consider us more of a purple state. You know, for many years you had Republican control of the House and Senate and then just the House, and then eventually that switched about the time I got into the legislature, 2007. So it goes back and forth. We're pretty evenly divided amongst a lot of these issues. And I think we have real conversation. Yes, that's true. Well, and everything is like
it's red.
Right.
Red state. Blue state.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think that we need to continue to have those conversations. I have a lot of friends on both sides of these issues. I've gone back and forth on my own with respect to certain of these at different times. So I look at them very carefully each time. Based on the information that's there available at the time and where we should go. But I can't say enough for the people in the Florence area and up and down my district that come to the Capitol and let us know their feelings on both sides of this issue, and they all come. I will tell you that on these gun issues, we get more emails than probably any of the other issues, and they come from all over the country, not just Oregon, when we have bills up.
Well, you know, and of course, you know, we have the concealed carry. I grew up in Tucson, Arizona. And it was open carry. I mean, you had your holster, you had... You
know, we have open carry here, too.
It's just that, you know, there's some states that don't allow that because
Correct.
It's intimidating or, you know, it causes fear.
And some cities.
And some cities.
Have their own regulations with regard to that. I know that when we had a lot of the conversations about gun rights a few years ago, there was a bunch of carry people that brought it to Portland and made everybody really scared and nervous. And then there was the at the Capitol, we had a lot of people coming through with rifles and open carry, and it made a lot of people very, very nervous.
But part of me thinks having it on your hip there
at least
is a lot more,
right.
At least people know, you know, then, hey, don't mess with me. But yeah, you know. Right?
It also means that if I need to get a weapon and I can take you down, I got a weapon.
Right.
Yeah. I think people don't recognize the responsibility of having that weapon on them with respect to the danger it could be to other people, including themselves.
And see, that's the problem with me. And like I said, I'm a gun owner. I'm a responsible. I love to go shooting. But I don't even know if it were to defend my own life, if I could pull the trigger.
Right.
I don't know.
Yep.
I want to say yes, I could if I were defending my own life. But I don't know the answer to that. So therefore, I think I'm better off not carrying it. You know, unless I know that answer, I think it's better off in the safe.
And I think if you take a concealed permit class, which I have done, you will find that that's one of the conversations that they have at that meeting, or at least the one I had.
Right.
It was a very serious conversation about that, because if you aren't, then having it creates a bigger problem. Having them at school means the access, if things go wrong, for someone to be able to get it at school. That makes me really nervous.
Yeah.
The training teachers one scares me to death.
What is it? Murphy's Law, whatever can go wrong?
Will go wrong. Yeah. Yep.
Well, I thank you for being here today, and I appreciate it. And again, you know, it's a great conversation to have, and I think that it's open to people on both sides. You know, I mean, there's certainly room for some consensus there.
Yeah. When you read the polls that have been taken, legitimate polls across the country with respect to things like universal background check, pretty highly regarded by owners of guns, non-owners of guns.
If you got nothing to hide.
Everybody. I mean, it's pretty universal, yet we can't still pass them, which is kind of weird.
Yeah.
And so you have to keep thinking about that as time goes on. And you also have to recognize around the world how unique we are with respect to the violence that happens with weapons in our country as opposed to other places. And, you know, there have been studies that show Canadians have just about as many guns as we do.
But not as many deaths
caused by them.
And then you have other places have no guns and very few deaths.
That's right.
Hey, how does that work?
Yep.
But anyway, but we're America. So, we're different. Yeah.
We are. We have a violent past.
Mm-hmm.
The exploitation and coming moving westward had with it lots of trials and tribulations.
Yeah.
And we don't have a really great history with respect to that.
Well, you know, we are changing, though. You know,
we are.
We have to have hope.
I agree.
I believe in hope.
I appreciate living here. It's still the best country in the world.
Absolutely.
And I've had the opportunity to visit other places, and I still say this is the place. And in particular, the coast of Oregon.
Can't miss it. It's just an amazing place. Yeah. Senator Arne Roblin, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you. Have a great day.
All right, you too. And coming up next on Our Town, we're going to talk with six of the new seven members of the Oregon Coast Humane Society Board. It's going to be a little crowded in here, but we'll get it together.